Blog Talk Radio.
The Go Squad Sports Radio Podcast. This is yours truly, Puma, along with Black Thor and Ice Water. Just finished up our first 40. And if you haven't had a chance to see our first 40 on YouTube, look on to our and subscribe to our YouTube channel on the Go Squad Sports Radio Podcast. We've been doing it for a month long and getting some nice responses from it. You get to see the sports talk superheroes live and in color. And our antics on the first 40. Black, were there any stories on the first 40 that you wanted to talk about and elaborate a little bit before we go into our picks today?
Yeah, we didn't really probably hit it too much, but Cleveland Browns, man, seem like they are in the mode of trying to make OBJ happy. And I wonder how long is it going to be before he kind of stuck the sharp, man. He's been quiet for the most part. He kind of rumbled inside a little bit, but they're going out of their way to compliment him and try to keep him happy, but it's just a matter of time. If they ain't winning, he's out of the end zone where he's going to start to show out. What do you think?
I predicted about five games, the same amount of games that I thought that Antonio Brown would kind of act up with the Raiders and then another team. But I predicted five games, but it seems like he's holding on. I think once he gets to, they get to the point where they're not going to make the playoffs, I think that's when you're going to start seeing it. Ice, what do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. From that standpoint, he's a player and he wants to win. And if he feels like there's something that's holding him back, then he's going to unleash. So Baker Mayfield has talked stuff like he's the leader and he's going to control things. He has not seen the crazy of OBJ, right? he sounds good right now, particularly with a new head coach. How do you handle that? So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, particularly if they don't win enough games to make the playoffs.
All right. Ice, do you have any stories that you want to mention that we didn't mention in the first 40?
No, I'm still trying to recover, brother. So, nah, I'm good. I don't want to hear nothing else about any picks until we have to pick. Nope.
All right, then. Let's not waste any time, gentlemen. Let's go to the pick. All right, so the pick order is Black Thor first. Ice Water comes behind him. I already got Pop picks in, and then I pick last. It's week 7. And again, we'll remind you, if you haven't been looking on our Twitter page or our Facebook page or the Goon Squad Sports Radio page, I'm in front with a 60-31 record, followed by Pop with a 53-38 record. Black Thor slips in the third slot, and he's one game behind Pop with a 52-39 record. And Ice Water is 10 games behind me at a 50-41 record. So he is eager, willing, and able to start these picks. He has a strategy to catch up. So we're going to start right now with the Kansas City Chiefs against the Denver Broncos. Black, who you got?
I'm asking for the fans' help at this point because I just want to make sure. This is around the time of the season when the numbers get a little funky. So keep an eye on the numbers there, fans. Help me out. They've been known to get funky around here. So that being said, I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs to win this week because Denver is not impressive at all, man. I'll take Kansas City. Even though Kansas did not look good right last week, man, I think the league is starting to catch up with them. And that defense, it's horrible, but they have enough to beat the Denver Broncos. I think Kansas City.
Yeah, you got Team Puma. Who you with? Pick them up. Pick it up on Instagram or Facebook. Who you with? Team Puma, Team Pop, Team Black Thor, Team Ice Water. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to need to get a lifeline. I'm going to have to start going to choir rehearsal. Anyway, Yeah, I'm going to roll with Kansas City. They've been bad, but I think that they have enough over Denver. Denver's, they struggle, and they like to run the ball. Lindsey's been doing a little bit decent, but I think Mahomes has just enough juice to beat them by a couple touchdowns. So Kansas City on the road.
All right. Pop is going with Kansas City, too. I'm going to roll with Kansas City because I know the defense is horrible, and, you know, Mahomes has been kind of hobbling a little bit, and they got some injuries on the team. But Tariq Hill came back strong last week, hopefully they'll get back to him. That line in Kansas City, it kind of shows me that that line is not that good, because when Mahomes can't move, then he's getting caught, and there were some turnovers that I think cost him the game last week. But I'm still rolling with them because I don't think Denver is that good. I really don't think Denver is that good. Even though they played and won last week, I still don't trust them. Next game on tap is Miami versus Buffalo. This is a trap game, I feel, but we'll see what the guys say. Black, who you got?
I don't see why it's a trap, man. Buffalo's going to do damage in this game, bro. This is Buffalo. They had a week off with the bye. They're going to come back refreshed. And I think they're playing for something, man. Not that I think they're super talented. A good defense. I think they got to realize – I think they realize they have a possibility to kind of be there in the end. So I think they're going to come out strong, taking the Bills.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, the Allen, the quarterback at Buffalo, has shocked me in a number of ways. I knew he was talented, but I didn't think he was this good. He's finding ways to win. And I think this week they found ways to get their deep threat going again. So I expect John Brown to catch a couple touchdowns and rolling with the Buffalo Bills.
Pop is also going with the Buffalo Bills. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills, but I think this might be a trap game because you know how Kelpatrick will come in and Fitzpatrick will come in and do a little magic and surprise you for two or three games. And so they're starting him as quarterback. Maybe they're trying to save face because everybody knows that they are kind of tanking the season. And maybe they're just trying to get one or two wins just to kind of save face. But you never know with Fitzpatrick. But I'm picking Buffalo. I'm picking Buffalo, but I wouldn't be surprised if Miami upsets Buffalo. Next game on tap is Oakland going to Lambeau. And Green Bay's been playing at home a lot. Black, who you got?
Yeah, they're starting to run the ball well, and that I like, man. I like the fact that they're moving the ball on the ground. They can continue that. They're going to be in pretty good shape. They should not have an easy part of it because Raiders are playing pretty good football, believe it or not. But I picked Green Bay to win this at home, taking the pack.
All right. Ice, what you got?
Well, I'm going to go with the pack straight up this week. They won't need the referees like they got last week, but against Oakland. So – yeah, Aaron Rodgers in the pack to win.
Okay. Papa's going with Green Bay at home. I'm also going with Aaron Rodgers. They seem to have something going there in Lambeau. They were losing, and it came back. Some people say it's the ref's help. I say that Detroit kind of gave up that game early with the turnovers. But who am I? So Green Bay across the board. Arizona versus the New York Giants. Black, who you got?
Danny Dimes, baby, Danny Dimes. I don't think Kyler Murray's playing well, but for some reason his game just doesn't travel. He does better at home. I wouldn't be surprised if they win, but no, I think the even though the Giants lost, I didn't really watch that game. I like the way they battle against the Patriots. I think they battle. They kind of, you know, they're playing tough. They're playing hard. It's going to pay off at some point. I think it's going to pay off this week at home against the Cardinals. I'm taking the G-men. G-men.
All right. All right, so you got?
I snuck by last week. He got me that victory over Atlanta. I'm not sure. Plus, I heard, I think I understand that Barkley's coming back. Changes the whole perspective. It hurt as much as it pains me. I'm going to take the Giants at home.
All right. Pop is going with the Giants at home, and everybody must have been doing their scouting report. I'm taking the Giants, too, with Barkley coming back. I see you out there, 5622. We're going to do our picks, and then we're going to go to the line for your questions. So hold your questions. We're coming right at you. The next game on tap is Houston at Indianapolis. Black, who you got?
Well, Houston showed me something last week, man. I mean, this team, when they can give the quarterback a little bit of time, they got something. They dropped it. I mean, I can't think of his name. He dropped at least two or three touchdowns last week. The Colts are battling. They'll play tough, and they play really tough at home. But I'm going to go with Houston. I just don't like them when they travel, but it was in Kansas City. They rocked the house. I think they'll rock the house in Indy. I'm taking the Texans.
All right. All right, so we got.
Yeah. Indianapolis, though, they're coming off that bye. I'm not sure how they need to get the cobwebs out or whatever. Plus, they had some injuries, which kind of scared me. They are a nasty team at home, but this is going to be a hell of a game. But I think the Texans are running the ball a little bit, moving the ball, and Deshaun Watson starting to rise up to the occasion. So with that being said, I'm going to take Houston on the road.
All right. It's Houston across the board. Pop is picking Houston on the road. And none of us are trusting the Indianapolis Colts, so it's Houston across the board. Next game on tap, will it be good Kirk Cousins or bad Kirk Cousins? Minnesota versus Detroit. Black, what you got?
Being at home definitely helped him last week, man. Even though I think he all played pretty decent this week, but the Detroit Lions tend to play a lot of man pressure. They get up in the receivers. I don't think he's going to have enough separation to complete those passes this week. I'm taking Detroit at home.
All right, so you got?
They should have won last week. They took the game from y'all. Let's go, Lions!
You going with Detroit?
Yes, sir, in the Silver Dome.
All right. Papa's going with Minnesota. I think he's believing in Kirk Cousins, but I'm going with Detroit at home. They might want to get that a bad taste out of their mouth for Monday night. Next game on tap is Jacksonville versus Cincinnati. Black, who you got?
Ooh, Cincinnati, even though they lost to the Saints last week, they battled, man. They was in there, they had some opportunities. And this quarterback, I believe, is for real. Cincinnati just fell off the face of the map, man. But it's more or less the quarterback. And I don't blame A.C. Green for not trying to rush back and play, but I'm taking Jaguar on the road to kind of win this one.
All right. All right, so you got?
Yeah, I bought into Cincinnati, and they just lost. I don't know what the hell is going on. But the one thing about it, they have started to give Jacksonville start giving Leonard Fournette that ball again. He's running hard. He would add to the quarterback to that, too. So they're making some things happen, even though they got trading Ramsey, too. I think they're going to try to show you that they're for real. And Cincinnati has had trouble stopping rushing attacks all year long. I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
All right. Pop is going with Jacksonville, the road dog. I'm going with Minshew, too. I haven't picked them too much this year, but I got a feeling they could take Cincinnati, so it's Jacksonville across the board. San Francisco versus Washington. Who you got, Black?
Tough team, man. Top to bottom, tough team. Very gritty. Love to punch you in the mouth. I got to go with San Fran, man. Between them and the Saints, the best two teams in the NFC, I'm taking San Fran.
Okay, I'm going to be waiting for that pick later on with New Orleans and Chicago, see if that holds true. All right, so you got?
Yeah, Adrian Peterson did well last week, 118 yards, but I don't think they have enough. San Francisco is showing that they're tough. I think they have enough, particularly from the defensive standpoint. They're going to cause enough trouble to give Washington the blues. So San Francisco on the road.
Yeah, I didn't believe in San Francisco. Pop picked San Francisco. I didn't believe him last week. I thought the Rams might get him at home, but that wasn't the case. San Francisco gave them everything they wanted. So it's San Francisco across the board with the picks. It's the Los Angeles Rams versus ATL, Atlanta Falcons. Black, who you got?
Hey, man, I'm assuming Rams is going to play in this, man. He probably have to know the plays to play against the Falcons. Wow. I just can't go with the Falcons, man. I'm going to close my eyes and take the Rams in this, man. There's no way in the world I can choose the Falcons. They just find a way to lose games. This coach has to be fired. Even though they won this game, man, they got to get rid of this head coach. This team has not been the same since they choked out the Super Bowl. There's too much talent offensively not to be able to move the ball and score more. I'll take the Rams.
All right, so you got?
Yeah, I can't trust them. I cannot trust the Falcons, especially with even though Matt Ryan has tried to show up, actually throwing 300 yards of like four weeks or something to that effect. But the Rams are shown to be horrible. But, I think they still have enough to beat Atlanta in a shootout. Rams.
All right. Pop is going with the Rams also. They didn't impress me. I think what Goff is trying to do is play action, but they have no running game. So the play action doesn't work. Get in the shotgun, fire the ball out under 3 seconds. That's how you win. So if I'm going with the Rams, I think they could beat Atlanta. Atlanta's really weak. Next game on tap is the Los Angeles Chargers versus Tennessee. Black, who you got?
So, like, I can understand the Chargers. The first 3 weeks, they could have beat anybody. Now they even show up to the game. I mean, what they put on display on Sunday was just absolutely ridiculous. And the week before wasn't much better. Tennessee is a joke. I mean, realistically, I think after this week, they're going to be playing for a draft pick, too, of a quarterback. So I'm going to take the Chargers because you know what? I'm going to flip this and I'm going to take Tennessee because I think they're going to run the ball enough to beat the Chargers. I'm going to take Tennessee with this, take Tennessee.
Okay. Ice, what you got?
Wow, that's a big change.
Yeah,
I was trying to follow you, too. Now, not any longer. Anyway. But Tennessee is I don't understand them. I really don't. But they can play strong at home. But the issue is that the Chargers, last week you saw Phillip Rivers getting in somebody's grill, man, after the game. He gets pissed. He has a reason to be. They're going to win this week on the road. Chargers.
All right. Pop is going with the Chargers. Tennessee is switching quarterbacks. They're putting Mariota on the bench. And I'm not too keen on the quarterbacks coming in. He's a former the Miami Dolphins quarterback, and I don't trust him. If Miami gets rid of you, you're pretty bad. So I'm going with the Chargers on this one. Next game on tap, and I'm in Chicago for this one. New Orleans versus Chicago. Who you got, Black?
Yeah, I'm going with New Orleans, man. I think they're going to go enough. Chicago has strong defense. It's going to be a close game, maybe a field goal to separate them, but I'm going to take the Saints.
All right, so you got?
Tough game here. Anybody else, I would take the Bears. I just don't think they're going to have enough firepower. And now that Bridgewater's starting to realize that you got to throw the daggone ball to Michael Thomas to win. And I like the defense of Chicago, so I think they're going to – it won't be as tough as the defense of New Orleans. I'm sorry. They won't be as tough as Chicago's defense, but they will come to play and make plays. So New Orleans on the road.
All right. Pop is picking Chicago. Chicago's missing one of their down linemen who is the anchor of that defense. And it kind of showed when he got hurt in Oakland. They had to make some adjustments. And Oakland started to really kind of gas them with running the ball and giving Carr enough time to pass the ball. And if you do that to this Super Bowl caliber team, the New Orleans Saints, they're going to have a field day. Even though their major running back is out, I'm still going to go with New Orleans to win this game. And because New Orleans has that great defense, and they got those the Ohio State Buckeyes in that secondary ice. So I'm going to put it down on them this weekend to take care of the Bears. Baltimore versus Seattle, the 12th man. Black, who you got?
Seattle's defense is nothing like it used to be. They give up a lot of points, but Russell, man, what can you say about Russell Wilson? I mean, he finds a way to battle and pull this team and drag them to victory. Baltimore, I'm just really not impressed. They start off the season well, but they kind of pull it back a little bit. I think Seattle's going to have enough at home to take. I'm going to take the Hawks.
All right, so you got?
Baltimore's played real ugly off and on, 1-2 punch. Yeah, Mark Ingram at times is looking fabulous. Lamar Jackson is playing like street football, but he's getting it done. But I've seen them struggle with teams I thought that they would handle. I thought they would handle Cleveland easy, and they did not. So you know how I feel about Russell Wilson. The Candyman can. I'm going with Russell Wilson and the 12th man.
All right. Papa's going with Seattle. Lamar Jackson was the only quarterback to have 200 yards in passing and over 100 yards in rushing. He's setting records in Baltimore, but I got a feel that Seattle defense will have a remedy for that. And Baltimore is a road dog. Not sure if they can beat Seattle. And Russell Wilson, I don't care how many points he's down, he's coming at you. And especially at home, I think they'll come at him. And so I got to pick Seattle. Next game on tap, this should be an interesting one for first place in the NFC. Philadelphia versus Dallas. Who you got, Black?
Yeah, I know the coach basically guaranteed a win, man. But I just don't trust Philly. I just don't. I think there's something wrong there. That quarterback is not playing that bad. But they take quarters and halves off, and they can't do that against the Cowboys. They'll be up for this game, but I'm going to take the Cowboys. It's hard for me to say this. Take the Cowboys at home. I got a funny feeling Zeke is going to be able to run the ball a little bit. If they can get Zeke going and just pound him for three quarters, I think this should be enough. I'm going to take the Cowboys.
All right. Ice, this is a Sunday night game. The boys are on. Who you got?
Hell, were they on Sunday night last week?
Yeah, this is a blue uniform. I'm telling you, they don't do well with the blue uniforms. I don't know what it is about the blue uniforms.
They never have in the blue uniforms. You know, they never wore the blue uniforms in the Super Bowl ever. Anyway, I'm not sure if DeSean Jackson is coming back, and I think that's what Philadelphia is truly missing. So I think everybody knows, Dallas knows, everything is on the line. You go 3-4. Man, for real? Lose 4 straight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be nasty now. It's going to really be nasty. I'm going to take Dallas at home.
All right. This Dallas across the board. I can't see them after all the stuff they're going to be going through this week and people are talking and the memes are up. I can't see Dallas dropping this at home. I really can't. So they're going to be fighting for first place. This should be a great game, but I got to go with Dallas also. The last game, which is Monday night, is and you might want to take your lady out for dinner on this one because this is going to be a laughing. New England versus New York Jets. Black, who you got?
Damn, man.
Baby, you're more important than football to me.
I'm still on gas, honey. Anyway, man, I'm taking Patriots on this one, bro. There's nothing to even talk about this game. You just had the Super Bowl last week. I'm taking the Patriots this week.
All right, so you got?
You don't want to watch the game? No, baby, I don't need to watch that game. Really? No.
I don't need to watch the game, baby.
You.
Nah.
Really?
You're more important than me
than
football.
You don't watch away from football? You know, hey.
Damn, a Monday night football.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody watch that stuff. It's all about you. What you want to do? Really? Okay. Anyway, Patriots. That's all you got to say. Patriots.
Yeah, it's Patriots across the board. Pop picked the Patriots. I picked the Patriots. So those are our picks. We'll post them up on Twitter and on Facebook. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and take questions from folks that wanted to kind of challenge the goals a little bit. So we'll be right back right after this. This is the Goon Squad.
Bet when I stand to your dog, Browns I get overwhelmed, overjoyed, overstep my bounds on your touchy subject. Your waist shape's not what I think. It's you, my crew don't mind it thick. Mm-mm. Every woman ain't a video chick or runway model anorexic. I love what I can hold and grab on. So if you burn it off, keep the flab on. We gonna stay getting our collab on. Girl, we gonna stay getting our collab on. We gonna stay getting our collab on.
Don't get stuck on the things they say. Now you know it's a nasty world. Trying to get with you anyway, cause I know you're a nasty girl. We ain't never gonna discriminate, so let me compliment your style.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Hey, it's fall season, it's conference season, and it's also big boy season, Black. It's big boy season, so those ladies would like to cuddle. Hey, we all in shape for it. Let's go to a caller. If you have the last digits of 5622, give me your nickname and your question. Welcome to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Hello.
Well, thank you for having me. This is Southside Al. I just want to straighten some things out. The brother said something about the Silverdome. I guess Billy Sims is going to run that day. I think they're playing downtown in the Ford Center. And another thing, you guys picked against the Chicago Bears. Got to remember, Mac will be on the field. That's going to be the determining factor of picking against the Bears. Because I'm telling you, they come in here in Chicago, it's going to be cold. Hey, they're an indoor team. They're not going to play out here in the cold. They're not going to do well at all. And how about them Philadelphia Phillies? Hey, the Nats went to the World Series. Bryce Harper sitting at home watching his old teammates play.
You got a question, Southside Al?
Yeah, I just want to know how I can get be a regular on the show. That's how you can tell me that. I got a lot to say.
I got a question for Southside myself. I got a question for Southside. Is Mac going to catch the ball, too? I know he's going to have the quarterback because then he's going to catch the end throw the ball. Is he going to do that as well?
Hey, when once the defense started making interceptions on, was it Teddy playing this week? Hey, he's going to score, or the defense is going to score, because that's how it's always been in Chicago. 85 Bears, hey, McMahon couldn't see it down the field. But once you had Wilbur and Otis and everybody else scoring them touchdowns, hey, they won a Super Bowl.
It may take it this week. It may take it when we get an interception running back because that offense, I'll tell you guys this.
The Bears win this week. I get a chance to come on and be a regular on the show next week.
$2.
I will bring you back on the show.
$2.
That's okay, though. That's okay. You guys laughing now? You chuckling now? You think it's funny? And another thing, the Jets will beat the Patriots this week. CJ Mosley will be
there. That's why you won't be on this show, bro.
All right, put the bottle down. Put the bottle down.
That's why you won't be on
this
show, bro.
I was recording to you for that one, bro. You had me.
Okay, Ice, that's okay. Get the stadiums right in Detroit, man. You got a lot of bad brothers in Detroit right now.
It's called entertainment, brother. Believe me, I know what's going on.
Y'all have a fun, man.
But you know what, though? That Jets pick, that's not entertainment.
Okay, I said the Jets
win, you come back on the show.
I'm going to be here until next week as a
regular. You said if the Jets win, so if the Bears win and the Jets win, you want to come back?
The Jets are going to win. The Bears are going to win.
You can have your own show.
They gonna knock Teddy Bridgewater on his behind next week. I promise.
You got your own show.
If the Bears are winning, bring him back. Bring him back.
These guys are gonna win
this outside,
week.
Al.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this outside, Al. About Come Hicks, on, man. Hicks is the guy that really kind of frees things up for Mac, man. How much of an impact of the injury of Hicks
I'll get that part.
Not being on that down line?
He's injured, and it definitely showed up when they played the Raiders because the Raiders were able to run the ball up the middle. Let's hope he gets a chance to play this week. I think he's, going to be a last-minute decision. And to be honest with you, I don't want Trubisky to play this week anyway because they got a better chance offensive-wise with him not playing versus him playing because he can't read defenses. He can't throw the ball down the field. He can't hit receivers. So it's better off with the backup plan. It's better off with the defensive trying to make sure that they stop Bridgewater and just shut the Saints down.
Let me ask you this because we were doing the show during the draft when they drafted Trubisky. What were your thoughts when they drafted Trubisky?
All I'm going to say is this, and I was with a couple of other Southside brothers. You know, my thing is why didn't they get my man who really doing it for the Houston Texans because he was right there. The next man up to be called, and they should have got Watson. They didn't want to do it. And then, you know, the only black quarterback that's ever been in Chicago since Vince Evans was Walter Payton. So at the end of the day, it's what it is. It's what it is. I mean, hey, they saw Watson.
Yeah,
they was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So they didn't choose him. And even Trubisky couldn't believe it. He was sitting at the table like, what the F? I'm getting picked this early? And he only played, 20 games his whole collegiate career? So at the end of the day, man, it's a typical Bears pick. Luckily enough, Nagy is a decent coach where he's going to at least try to have his game plan around his deficiencies. But he's going to get exposed every time they play a team that's got a decent offense and definitely a decent defense. So unless the Bears are up, unless the defense is able to just, like, shut everybody down. Hey, man, the Bears might be looking for a draft pick because I gotta believe Detroit is going to be pissed off for the rest of the year. The Packers are going to be pissed off for the rest of the year, and they got to play them again.
All right. So let me get this straight. So if the Jets win and the Bears win, Can we get you back on the show?
You can get me back on the show. And if the Bears lose, I promise I won't call in for a week.
I got a question. A week? Just a week?
Just a week. I've been watching your show for a
week.
I like what you're doing.
We appreciate you, man. Hey, Southside, I just
appreciate it, man.
So if the Bears and the Jets win, what do you want to name your show, bro?
What I want to name the show?
Yeah, what's the name of your show?
Southside Out Show, the Chicago show.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to check that. Let me write that down.
We'll talk about the White Sox. Screw the Cubs. We'll talk about all Chicago stuff.
All right, Puma, you got that down?
We got to get you. Yeah, we got to get you on with a Cubs. We call him Mr. Cubs. We got to get you to argue with Mr. Cubs.
I'll try to get him one week.
And have you guys debate, since he's from the north side, you from the south side, and I know the history with the Cubs and the White Sox, so I know you're a big White Sox fan. So we gotta get you on the show. We gotta get you on the show, definitely.
Mr. Dave, the Chicken Unlimited, Harry Carey and Falstaff. Channel 44.
All right, man. Thanks for your question, man. We look forward to hearing from you next week when the games go down. And thanks for supporting us, man. Love you, bro.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate
all
you,
right.
Take
Go
care,
man.
All right. Take
yes,
care.
Sir.
All right, man. All right. So we're going to get into a little bit of college football until we wait for the next caller to come in. Let's do your eye. We did the eye test on the first 40. And so one of the things that I wanted to find out from Black, because I know Black has been doing the WNBA report and then has it scoot out, the games that you think that are going to be key games that we need to check out this week.
Man, that's a good question. I didn't get a chance to actually look at the schedule, so I couldn't really ask. I'm not going to have to say what's going to happen, because I didn't get a chance to.
All right, so do you want me to go to ice first?
Yeah,
you want
that's
me to go
cool.
to ice first?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right, good. Yeah, give
ice,
yep.
I know there's going to be some good game. I'm trying to think. I think Penn State's playing Michigan, and they're saying that if Harbaugh screws this up, they're talking like they want to keep him, but I don't know whether or not they're going to keep him if he loses against Penn State. And I know they're going to play Ohio State a little bit later, but can LSU, the game I want to see is Mississippi State. Now, I know Mississippi State probably not going to beat LSU, but will they have a hangover from that big win against Florida? But some of the games that you're going to be checking out, Ice, this week in college football.
Well, definitely LSU and Mississippi State, because, as you know, Mississippi State is capable of doing a lot of things, and if LSU kind of takes their foot off the gas, anything can happen. You've seen it happen before, and Mississippi State can score some points as well. Michigan is playing Penn State. From the standpoint of Michigan has had a couple big wins. They beat Iowa. This is the one, though, for Penn State. If they can beat Penn State, who's still undefeated, that will put them right moving up closer before they get to the showdown with Ohio State. So a lot going on. I'm not sure if they would literally go out and try to get rid of Harbaugh after this, because they'll feel it's like anything else. Even if they lose this game and lose another game as well, if they can beat Ohio State, all is well in Ann Arbor. All is well in Ann Arbor. So that's how that rolls. Another game I want to look forward to watching is Iowa State and Texas Tech. You saw what Texas Tech did battling last week, and Iowa State has kind of caused some issues for some other people as well. So that's another game that I want to keep an eye on as we move forward.
Okay. I'm going to name some names and I'll go back to Black. The game I want to see is a big time game. I want to see if South Carolina can pull another upset, because they upset Georgia. Well, I wouldn't call the Georgia game an upset, because once I saw Georgia play Notre Dame, I knew that Georgia wasn't going to stay in the top four very long. They're just not that type of team. They're not the team that they were in the past couple of years. And I don't think they're going to be a formidable foe in the SEC. And so I want to see if Florida is still kind of having that honeymoon that they or really kind of groggy, because that was a hard and tough game against LSU, whether they can bounce back and beat South Carolina. And they're at South Carolina. Kentucky always gives teams in the SEC for the last couple of years a run for their money. They play Georgia. Let's see if Georgia can bounce back. The team that I talked about earlier on the first 40, Baylor, they're playing Oklahoma State. That should be a big game. Also, Iowa and Purdue. Let's see what Iowa can do with Purdue. And another team, Washington and Oregon. Those are pretty good teams going against each other in the SEC. Oregon is ranked number 12. Washington is ranked number 25th. And so what team can kind of maneuver their way up? Of course, Notre Dame is going to play Michigan the following week, October 26th. That should be a big game. If Michigan loses again, I think if they lose against Notre Dame, and that's going to be a primetime game, Harbaugh might be in trouble. If he loses the next two weekends, I think he's done. Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts, they're playing West Virginia. And what I love about Hurts is that he's playing hungry. He knows what it takes to win a national championship. And what he's doing is he's letting his teammates know, this ain't good enough. No matter who we beat, it's not good enough. He's back in the gym. I've seen him with footage where they won a game, and right after the game, he went back to the gym and started working out. So he knows what it takes to be number one, and they're ranked number fifth right now, right behind Ohio State, who's ranked number four, and Clemson is holding on to that number three spot. They play Louisville, should have an easy time, but if Clemson doesn't really have a good showing against Louisville, I see them dropping out of that number three and four spot, and Oklahoma kind of stepping in depending on what kind of game they have against West Virginia. Black, going back to you.
Yeah, I think Georgia and Florida bounce back this week. I think they bounce back and win. And I'm thinking that even if Michigan lose this week to Penn State, I got a good feeling Penn State probably going to win the game. I think the game that's really going to determine if Harbaugh comes back next year against Ohio State, man. If they get thumped by Ohio State like they got thumped by Wisconsin, the alumni will lose their mind, man. They don't want them going. And whether the university steps up and do anything about it, it's going to be a totally different story. But if they get beat down by Ohio State, he can't come back next year. I don't think he's going to be welcome back. I just don't think that the fans are going to want him back. I know the alumni is going to want him out of this. So that's going to be the game to me that determines if he comes back or not.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come and talk some NBA basketball. I know the preseason going on, and then I'm going to try to get Southside Al to come in and talk about the Bulls because I remember coming to Chicago – and all he was talking about was the Bulls at the particular time, and I was rolling with the Detroit Pistons and then with the Knicks. And so I'm afraid to tell people I'm a Knicks fan now, being in Chicago. But we'll take a break. We'll come back, talk some NBA basketball. To the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. There are people calling but bouncing out. Maybe they're getting cold feet about talking to the Goons. But I'm going to bring Southside Al back in because he's hanging in there with us. But first I want to go to Ice because, Ice, you said you were very excited about the NBA season. And so I know you've been kind of keeping up on the preseason and watching some of the games. What are you kind of seeing and who are the teams that you want to really kind of or the audience should be really kind of keeping an eye on?
Well, it's a lot going on. I mean, we know that from the standpoint of all of the transactions that have been made over the season, prior to the season. You have to love the Clippers. I like the Clippers simply because of the fact that they have so many opportunities to play lockdown defense. A lot of people don't understand that. So you look at that team when you bring in Kawhi Leonard, also Paul George, Then you look at Lou Williams, of course,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Beverly, and then Harrell, the forward from Louisville as well, who played really well last year. A lot of defense, a lot of opportunity to score. They're going to make a lot of people cry because of the way that they come. They're going to be very aggressive. We already know what the Lakers are going to be. I'm going to let somebody else talk about that. I do want to see what Philadelphia does now because they've been they let Butler walk, or he walked, and now you bring in Al Horford from Boston. And it seems as if they, in a way, are trying to go back to old school basketball because now they're big across the way. When basketball, NBA basketball is a lot more faster. So we need to find out what's going to happen with Tobias Harris and those guys over there, too. I want to see that. Puma, I'm going to throw something at you. There's so many other teams out there. I don't want to take it all. But I was looking at the Knicks roster, and I know you did not going to really do anything this year. But they had two gentlemen on that roster that you can go to war with. It's just unfortunate the rest of their roster may not be that strong. And I tell you, if I was playing basketball and I needed two dogs, D-A-W-G's, Taj Gibson, and they got Marcus Morris, man. Them dudes play hardcore basketball. They have nothing to lose, and they play real hard. But I think it's going to be one heck of a season. I think it's a lot going on. A lot of people were talking about Milwaukee, too. But you got to prove it. You got to prove it. One last team I said that I think people should watch out for is Indiana. Because if our buddy comes back healthy, Oladipo, they could be dangerous, especially with the fact that they picked up Malcolm Brogdon from Milwaukee. I think they have a lot going on, and people are going to be surprised by what Indiana can do.
Black, I'm going to swing it over to you, man. Anthony Davis is spraying his thumb already with the Lakers. He's a walking mass unit, man. I really shouldn't laugh, but I hope he does really well. But this is his history. He's kind of frail. He's kind of fragile. What are you seeing in NBA basketball? I know the Knicks are playing right now against Atlanta. And what are you seeing, and what are they saying about the Knicks in the East Coast?
There's not too much talk mainly about the Knicks up here, man. I don't think people are expecting a lot. They brought in Ben Wallace to actually talk to the team a little bit because they want to kind of toughen them up and just kind of be a little hard-nosed like some of the old Knicks back in the day. But the team that no one's really talking about, and I'm curious how they kind of bounce back is the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm curious how they kind of step around and step back and see how they play this year because they had something going last year, and it's going to be interesting. We know that the Greek Freak, I think he's due for a contract. I don't think he's going to leave, but I think, you know, it's going to be interesting if the team does falter and they don't have a good season, how that makes them feel about staying there when everybody else is moving around. Philadelphia, of course, is going to be a team of attraction because an Al Horford going there, they should be much better. I think Butler leaving is going to help that team. I like the fact, too, that Simmons chose not to go play in a foreign league and chose to stay home and actually play and practice. I think that was smart. As a team that I read something, and I got to put this out there, man. It's so funny because your boy, Carl Anthony Towns, told a reporter that everybody's
sleeping. He's starting up in the season. Ain't started up yet.
I'm just saying, man. He's saying that everybody's sleeping on him, and they don't know why. So I don't know why when the talk comes around, nobody's talking about Minnesota Timberwolves. I wonder, what's up with that?
He took the bait.
Southside Al, man, I know you're a big Bulls fan from way back before they started winning championships with Norm Van Leer. I got a chance to talk to Norm Van Leer a few times, and he's one of the coolest cats that I've ever been around. What's your take on the Chicago Bulls? Because I talked to some Bulls fans who saw Zion for the first time live and in person, and it's like they were stuttering. They're like, he's going to be a problem. I think he dropped 29 in a preseason game against the Bulls. But what's your take on the Bulls this year and any team in the NBA, man?
Well, let me say this, guys. You know, when the Bulls was doing it, I mean, from like 89, man, to about almost 99, I mean, that was the best team in NBA history next to the Boston Celtics. Unfortunately, I've been traveling around the country the last couple of years, and I've actually went to a Bulls game in Minnesota when it was 15 inches of snow, and Minnesota just dusted them out. I actually went down to New Orleans and saw the Pelicans play Houston, and Houston dusted the Pelicans out with Anthony Davis playing, and he actually, whatever he did, he stumbled over somebody's foot, and they sat him down the rest of the game. So he probably hurt his thumb, man, picking his nose or something. That's why he's injured. But back to the Knicks, man. I know, Don, you were a Knicks fan from way back when Michael Ray Richardson was snorting cocaine and busting 50 down.
Whoa.
And Sly Williams and Gus.
Hey,
and
don't
Gus
be talking
Williams
about sugar
all them guys.
Sugar
Ray
low.
Williams, all them cats was
sugar
man.
Low.
Hey, man, the Bernard King, Eddie Grunfeld, man. Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, the Knicks was the blackest team in the NBA, man. That's why they started had to pull the quarterback out, man. Bird had to come out of Indiana and say, we got to get some white folks to play this game so white people watch the game. Because when you watch the Seattle Supersonics back then, man, you had Dennis Johnson and Lonnie Shelton, all them, man. Hey, and they had Jack Sigma. That was the only white boy that was playing with them then. So – at the end of the day, man, the Bulls this year, I like the guy from North Carolina. I don't think he's going to be like the other guy from North Carolina. And the Bulls, man, they've been rebuilding for the last couple of years, but it's just like any Chicago team here. You really don't have to put a decent product out there because people are just going to come to the game because people buy season tickets. People have hold season tickets for generations. And they don't have to have a winning product. When people stop coming to these games, which is probably never going to happen, that's when probably the Chicago teams will probably step their game up. But they feel they don't have to spend any money to win because they know that the Bulls are going to sell out every year. The Bears are going to sell out every year. I don't know about the Blackhawks. The last few times I've seen the Blackhawks, they were on the road. That's when they were winning. So it's still kind of hard to get a ticket, but, you know, who knows what the Bulls are going to do this year. I like I said, I like the guy from North Carolina, and that's pretty much it. I don't even know who's coaching the Bulls. That's how uninterested I am with the Bulls because I really haven't been watching them. It's been a couple of years now. Now, I might watch the Knicks. I'm watching them right now. Atlanta's, like, you know, giving them some heat right now. But the Bulls, anybody that's a true diehard Bulls fan, it's probably somebody that's depressed right now.
Yeah, because they didn't tell everybody that they were rebuilding, but they have actually been rebuilding for the last few years. And so, they have a decent team. I think they're bringing back Valentine, who was hurt mostly last year. I think they have a core of young players that are pretty good, but they don't have that superstar that's going to take them to the playoffs. And my thing was, and I said this on the show a couple of years ago, the worst thing the Bulls could have done was to go, six or seven games with the Boston Celtics that year when you had Isaiah Thomas playing against them. And that capped Paxton's job. The general manager and the president of the team's job, which they should have let them go after that season. But it capped their job because they were like, okay, maybe we have a chance. The only thing I don't like about what the Knicks do is that the Knicks seem to grab players, and maybe they just can't get the marquee players like KD has been talking about. But, I like your boy, Ice, that you were talking about that came from the Timberwolves. But it seems like, and Black, back me up on this, it seems like the Knicks wait for all the burnouts from the Chicago Bulls and say, okay, we got a contract, we got a locker room for you. Come play with the Knicks.
Wow.
And I don't understand
it. Not the burnouts. Not the burnouts from the Chicago Bulls.
Every player that played for the Bulls go to the Knicks.
Took Bill Cartwright and won six championships. And he was really done.
I'm talking about the Bulls. No, Cartwright was with the Knicks and he went to the Bulls. I'm talking about players from the Bulls. Just, you know, after their career is over with the Bulls,
I
don't know why the Knicks signed him. You got I think Portis is on there now. Had Chandler, you had Derrick Rose, you had the Curry. I mean, you name them.
Okay.
If they play with the Bulls, they play with the Knicks. back me up on this one, Black, because I know you know several others that came from the Bulls and went to the Knicks.
Yeah, there's definitely a pipeline from New York to Chicago when it comes down to that for players. For some reason, there definitely is. I'm just hoping now this new coach, fairly new coach, I should say, that they allow him and give him some players to grow. I mean, they did okay in the draft last year. Of course, for one design, it didn't happen. Give Barrett a chance to play. I wouldn't load up on too many bad contracts because you want to keep yourself open for the next draft and some potential free agents. But, you know, a lot of times I'm not a big fan when Kevin Durant speaks, but I like what he just said that, you know, New York believe that, you know, people are enamored with him, but they're not. And I've been saying that for a while, and that's his goal. He thinks
right.
that New York still carry that same type of appeal. But something like what Super Al said about Chicago, the fans in New York, they got to stop going to the games until they really settle and ensure they're serious about putting good quality product on the floor. Stop going. But they won't. They just, for whatever reason, because the New York Knicks is not that nationally they're a big thing, but when it comes to New York, it's a big tourist attraction. It just is. People go to New York games to see superstars and celebrities and stars on the, you know, down at the game watching it close to the floor. So it's a big thing in that sense, and they'll pay big prices just to see if they can see somebody and say, wow, I saw somebody last night. They don't even give a damn what's going on in the game. So until New York really, the fans really realize, stop paying those expensive prices and let that stadium and let that place sit empty for a period of time, then that team will turn around.
All right, I want to throw this question out to everybody regarding the NBA. I know that the Clippers are the odds-on favorites to win the championship this year, but outside of the Clippers, who do you think, as far as in the Western Conference and in Eastern Conference, have a shot in holding up that trophy next year? Ice?
Well, like I said, I mean, a lot of people talking about Boston. I had to see it before I believe it. I really do, because with those younger players, are going to have to rise up. Brown, of course, he's going to have to rise up, and Hayward's going to have to rise up. But I would legitimately give Philadelphia a chance because the way that goes. Milwaukee, just because of the Greek Freak, you have to give him some love. But losing some of their shooters, I want to see how that they rebound from that. But I would probably say Philadelphia. And then when you mention out in the West, it's wide open. I mean, you just have to say the Lakers, of course, because of LeBron. But when I look at it, I'm telling you, man, the Clippers are just nasty. You say Utah, people talk about Utah, but I need to see the chemistry. Just because Mike Conley Jr. went out there doesn't mean they're going to be definitely great. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing on chemistry. And I think that when I mention Boston, I think the jury is going to be out because the point guard went from Charlotte that went up, Kemba Walker, is not just going to come over and make things magical. I just don't believe that. So we're going to see. Cause that's a lot of weight. You clown Kyrie if you want to, but those are big shoes to fill. We'll see how good Kemba will be able to play with better talent and whether or not he can grab that leadership and take that team to where they think they should be.
All right, Black, who are the other teams in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference that you think have a shot to win in the championship?
You know, it's interesting that I got to see the Clippers play. I know they had a pretty good team last year. I really got to see how they gel. I'm going to give them a month or two to see how they gel and play. I think the Lakers, I know Kuzma is going to be out for an extensive period of time. And as you see with Anthony Davis, man, he's going to be in and out of the lineup. So I don't think the Lakers are going to do much. I think at this point, LeBron's career, he can't give you a full season of carrying that team anymore. And I think they're going to be in trouble. I don't think LeBron is strong enough mentally to deal with this China stuff. And it's going to ride him all season. It's going to kind of wear him down. I'm going to surprise you in the West, man. And I'm not sure if they're going to make it. But I'm saying don't count Golden State out, bro. If Golden State get to the playoffs.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, if they can get to the playoffs, and I think they will, man, at that time. They brought some new cats in there, and they always find a way to infuse young talent into that squad. They're champions, man. They know how to do it. So they can get to the playoffs, do not count Golden State out. I'm going to take Philly in the East. I just don't think – I think if they allow themselves to just play together – stop feeling that one person has to kind of dominate, I think Philly's going to be very strong.
Okay. I'm going to go with you, Southside Al. Who are you picking out of the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference in the NBA?
Well, you know what I like? I like the Clippers in the West. I think they're going to take the West. And I agree that LeBron's not strong enough to that carry that team. And I really think they got Davis just to play for the playoffs. If they get that far in the season, that he's going to be their go-to guy in the playoffs. And in the East, I like Brooklyn in the East.
Hmm.
I mean, I everybody's looking at the Celtics, but I like Brooklyn in the East. I think Kyrie, even without KD, is going to carry that team, and they're going to do big things. Now, they may not win it all, or they may not make the playoffs, or they might make the first round, but I don't think that they're not going to turn in a bad season. And let's not forget about the Raptors. They are the world champs. They are the world champs. So let's not write them off because they don't have Kyrie. They played good. They played good, but they got over the hump with Kyrie. So I know they got something.
You mean Kawhi Leonard?
Well, Kawhi Leonard. That they got something to prove playing without him. They got to win without him to prove that they're a legit champ. So they got something to prove, and I like Philly as well.
Yeah, I like Philly, but I like Milwaukee more than Philly. And Milwaukee had to get past Toronto, and they couldn't. But they gave Toronto everything they can handle. And so I think Milwaukee will be that team. And I think the Greek Freak will step it up because he wanted it last year. They didn't get it. And I think it will make him more hungrier to get it this year. But everybody's discounting, and I know Black mentioned this, but everybody's discounting Golden State, and I wouldn't discount them. I just wouldn't discount them. And so I think they have pretty much their core. And I was watching a story today on ESPN and D'Angelo Russell. And D'Angelo Russell, it seems like Curry is becoming a very, very positive, influential person to him. Showing him how to win, showing him how to practice, showing him how to be on and off the court. And I think that's going to play big dividends for that team because everybody's talking about Thompson being out. But I think D'Angelo Russell, think about it. When D'Angelo Russell was with Brooklyn, that's when Brooklyn was doing what they were doing last year in shocking teams. He's no longer there. So I was kind of surprised about your pick, Southside, that about Brooklyn because they do have some good players over there. But D'Angelo Russell was the guy. He was the that stirrer in the drink. That got that team going and pulled them out of some great games, and great last-second shots to win those games.
Right.
So that is over at Golden State now. Everybody is I watched Portland last year, and they added some guys that they needed last year to this year's team. And so they added a center. They got the big guy back. And so I'm looking at Portland to make a major run. I know people are talking about Houston. I don't think – those two guys, Harden and Westbrook, can share the ball. They're going to be going for triple doubles. I think they're going to be fighting over the ball in the last minute of the game, and I don't see how that can work. And they're talking about kind of staggering them in game. I can't see that working. And so that's going to take, to me, a lot of time to kind of develop. And maybe the year after this year, maybe they'll be ready. But I don't think it's this year because you still have Harden, who has a problem when he gets to the playoffs. He just can't bring it. He can't bring it. And every playoff series I've seen him in, he's choked. He's choked. He choked when he was in OKC, and he choked when he was in Houston. And then Russell Westbrook thinks he's a three-point artist when he gets in those games in this crunch time, and he'll throw up three-pointers and let the other team in the game. So I'm looking at everybody's looking at the Lakers also with the big name. I can't see it right now. Maybe they'll surprise me. Maybe they won't. But I'm looking at Portland and Golden State. I like Utah, what they were doing over there, and Denver. Denver did real well last year. Can they repeat and do the same thing they were doing last year to give those teams everything they wanted in the playoffs? So I'm looking at these guys, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Portland and Golden State, maybe they won't be the top team in the West, but I guarantee there will be teams that won't want to see them in the playoffs. All right. Any thoughts, Black? More thoughts?
No, man, you covered a lot there, man. I forgot about Portland, and if those new additions can pan out, you may have, they may be on to something.
All right, Ice, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I think one team people might be sleeping on, and I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but I think they're greatly improved, particularly with the offseason pickups. That's Orlando, man. Watch out for Orlando. They made strides.
Yeah, oh, wow.
They made strides. And they have – I mean, Aaron Gordon is coming finally into his own. They made some strides where they play more defense. They have Vukovic that was hurt. He's coming back around. They picked up Aminu from Portland. And I think they're going to be a very blue-collar type team, playing type of team, the style they play. But I think they're going to give some people some fits because they play hard, and I think their coach down there, Steve Clifford, has them going in the right direction.
Yeah, you reminded me of somebody, Porter. If Porter for Denver can give the team 10-5, Denver's going to be okay. And there's another team that's right on the tip of my tongue, Dallas. Dallas, Porzingis and Rookie of the Year last year. Those two can put it together, they'll be a dangerous team. Southside Al, any other thoughts before we get out of here and go to our next segment?
Yeah, we forgot one team that nobody's talked about, the Pelicans. I mean, they're a young team, and I think they're going to put a good showing in through the season because the rookie, the kid from Duke, you know, he's probably going to be the next NBA superstar. And plus, they got a lot of good guys around him, and I think they're going to do well.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And I know, Black Thor, you got to get up early, so you're tapping out right now. Thank you, bro. We will catch you a little bit later. Southside Al, can you hang around?
Sure.
All right. So we'll have questions from the goons. It's a segment that the goons and what we didn't talk about, you can have questions. If you have questions, we answer them. Let's take a break and come right back on the Goon Squad. We're back on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. I got to let you know that I know this man on the other line, and he went to Central State while we were over at Wilberforce. So I ain't going to call his real name out because the FBI might be looking for him. But it's a history in Ohio.
You know, I do. I am a double agent for the government. I am a double agent for the government.
This part of the show, Southside Al, what we do is go around and we'll ask questions about sports topics that we haven't talked about or talked about that we want to get a little deeper in. So I'm going to go with Ice first. What's your question, man?
How the hell Southside Al get on the show? No, I'm just playing. Anyway.
Wait till the bad win, Ice. Wait till the bad win.
Oh man, I'm just trying to figure out. We talked about this earlier about the young lady. Was it the gymnast Biles?
Simone Biles.
Just how she's been doing some amazing things and breaking records and whatnot. And then it just comes down to the point where it's not receiving. We said this, the attention that we think it deserves. And I had to go back and I watched the replay of her doing some great things. She was amazing. But it's almost like I told you, it's still not receiving the love of the way it should, in my opinion, of the great feats that she's accomplished. That's the question. What do you guys think about that?
I'll go to you, Sasa. Why is Simone Biles not getting the attention and love? We talked about this in a show a couple of weeks ago, and I made mention of it. Why do you think she's not getting all the attention and love, bro?
Because she's not Nadia Comaneci. That's why. And I'm only saying that in skin color because, you know, anytime an athlete of color who is dominating a sport and is not treated the same as one who is not of color. And unfortunately, you know, they say that, you know, we are the best athletes, we are the best scientists, we have created a lot that we did not get credit for. And here again is another situation where she is not being accepted, she's not being rewarded, she is not being put in. Actually, she's not even being put in the category of a Nadia Comaneci. I mean, because she did her thing, man, in the late 60s, early 70s. They still talk about her. We're in the 21st century, and she is kind of like still being talked about. And where the young lady that we're talking about is not even considered in the same class or category. And I think that's truly unfair. For her, that really has done an injustice. And I think the other thing is that she came out and told the truth about how the coaches were treating the young ladies, and she gave her testimony. So now everybody is like, oh, wow, now you told on me now. So, of course, now she's going to get a bad rep.
Yeah, I said this on the show a couple of weeks ago, but I'm glad you brought up the race issue, because usually if someone white or not of color is doing stuff like this, you see them in the endorsements, you see them just about everywhere representing young ladies in schools and who are doing things in sports. I look at Serena Williams. If Serena Williams was not a woman of color, she would probably be and she still gets her due, but not so much to me. They seem to kind of harp upon her negative instead of what she's been able to accomplish.
Oh,
if Chris Evert was doing the same thing, if somebody else was doing the same thing, she would be on every endorsement, all this stuff. And I thought that I think you're right about the color, and I think you're right about her and the Me Too movement and her being sexually abused. I would hate for that to be the reason why folks are kind of not touching what she's doing, but she is doing some amazing things and breaking records, it seems like, every day. And why she's not getting the accolades, I think we of color know, but other folks are, it's almost like they want to ignore it until it goes away, until somebody who is not of color gets to that point where they can spoil them with accolades and endorsements and all that other stuff. Ice, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I told you earlier, I think that a lot of the negativity or her not receiving the coverage has to do with the Me Too movement. I really believe that, because I think that a lot of people are kind of tired of hearing it, because it's been all over the place. And those ladies deserve better than that, particularly Ms. Biles, because she did nothing wrong. But I think the media has really been on top of that with in the entertainment world. Also, now we're in the sports world. And I think the fact that if you would call hangover, is really affecting some great accomplishments, really. And before, there was a time when she was all over the place with endorsements and whatnot, and when she was really doing some great things. And now it's like it's an afterthought. And that's really sad to me, because this is probably one of the top athletes we'll ever see. And I don't know how much longer she's going to do that, but her time is now. And she just is not receiving the recognition she deserves. And like I said, I think these campaigns and the way that the media decides how they do things are playing a major part as to why she's not receiving the love she deserves.
All right, Southside Al, it's your turn, man. A question for the goons.
You know what? I made a joke earlier. We're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. A couple of guys I work with, we were talking about baseball. And most of the time, baseball is the most exciting time, is around this time of the year. So I've been, like, tuning in, watching Houston and in New York, and then been watching the Nats in St. Louis. And I was thinking, like, man, somebody need to fire the Philadelphia Phillies general manager because they paid $300 million for Bryce Harper, the same guys he played with last year where they couldn't even get out of the first round of the playoffs. Now these guys are going to the World Series. I just want to know that when these teams, not just the Philadelphia Phillies, but most of these teams, especially lately in the NFL, you look at Dak, he ain't got his check yet. But yet and still, they still want to wait for him to do something dynamic. Now, okay, the Cowboys had a skid the last couple of weeks. But these teams sign these players based on promise, not actually doing it, because last I checked, Bryce Harper don't have no World Series ring. But they based on promise to sign these guys. When do these sports teams realize that there is way too much money being invested in one player on each team or a couple of players on each team, and then you have to put the rest of the team together by nickels and dimes? When do these teams stop spending all this money on just one player and they don't deserve it, or they haven't proved promise that they are worth that type of money?
We're going to go to our baseball expert, Ice Water. What do you think, man?
Well, I think a lot of times it comes down to desperation, man. And crazy as it may sound, you, I think you hit it on the head when you mentioned why would they spend this money on one guy. Look out at San Diego, and was it Machado out there?
Machado,
out there,
yeah.
They picked mm-hmm. him, yeah, picked him up, and you haven't even heard. They're like on, they may not need, might as well be on the other side of the world. So you see teams that have not really had a lot of success. And they've been desperate. They really either don't have a front office management, or they don't have a player, so they put all their eggs in one basket, or they do something crazy. And the same thing with Harper in Philadelphia. Philadelphia struggled for years. And actually, they were trying to put together a decent team, but they gave all their money up to the wrong player, to the wrong situation. So I'm not sure if they ever will change Southside Island. And I say that even in the NBA, because it's always on promise. You draft a guy, and it's based on potential. But nobody really talks about chemistry. We know this in any sport. No one person, unless it's boxing, no one person can make that difference. He can change the whole team. Takes the team. That's why I think you see the Yankees are doing what they're doing, and you all definitely see what Houston's doing. They're
right.
Really putting it together because – you got guys that are hungry, but it comes down to chemistry. But then, as I said to them before, very quickly, when you look at the NBA, everybody's mad at the players choosing where they go. We've had some dumb general managers for years in the NBA keep making the same mistakes. Like I told them, 26 years over a period of 26 years, only 7 teams won the championship in the NBA. That's not by coincidence. That's by structure. I'm not sure that's ever going to change. It's always be somebody to take a chance because they think this one-hit wonder is going to put a bunch of money down is going to make a difference and going to win them a championship.
Yeah,
I
think
–
yeah, let me chime in real quick. I think Washington kind of took a page from the Oakland A's with less is more. And they were able to pay some really talented players some decent salaries. And these guys are hungry. They want it. Because when I was looking at some of the stats early on in some of our previous shows, and Ice Water does the Major League Baseball report, the Detroit Tigers and the Washington Nationals, and I remember us reporting this, they had the same record at one particular point in time. And then all of a sudden the Nationals just turned it on, and then they got into a playoff, one-game playoff, and came back in that game. And when I saw that, I'm like, this might be a team of destiny right here. They may have got a long way. Dodgers need to kind of really kind of be leery of them. And then they went after the Dodgers. But I think some teams are going to start taking – I know a lot of folks got on Derek Jeter for what he did in Miami, but I think a lot of teams are going to start taking a playbook from the Oakland A's and say, hey, let's get us some players that are hungry that we can build a chemistry on, and let's see what we can do with it. And Yeah, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, and the Yankees are notorious for, you know, they say buying the best team in Major League Baseball. But what they did when Alex Rodriguez started to get older, when a lot of players started to get older on that team, they said, you know what, we need to cut ties with you because we got a lot of young, hungry players, and we need to give them time, and we need to get back to playoff baseball. Keeping these big contracts with these older players is not working for us. And so I think you know, like they say, the NFL is a copycat league and all that other stuff. I think baseball is going to start looking at that and jumping on these players really quickly, because one of the things of why these teams pay these guys is because they don't want other teams to kind of step in and realize that this guy has the potential of doing something and get burnt with it. And so they do that to keep these guys. And then if it doesn't work out, hey, we can scrap that, get the next guy that's the potential. But what are your thoughts, Southside Al?
Well, I agree with you, Puma, and I agree with Ice that especially with Machado, the Sox were in the running to try to get him. And the crazy thing about it is that, you know, the Sox fans, they were actually telling the Sox fans that he was, like, almost signed. And in the 11th hour, he changed his mind and went to San Diego. And it was only maybe a difference between a couple of million more from San Diego, but of course here he was already had the key to the city, and he went off to San Diego. But you know, the funny thing about it is that same thing with most of these teams, Sox included, that they don't have any big name guys. They haven't get paid any huge amount of money. But again, you know, when they don't pay or invest in getting quality talent, you don't have to spend. You don't have to spend the whole franchise to get quality talent, but you do have to put a product on the field that people want to come and see. And, you know, the only difference between baseball on the south side and baseball on the north side, hey, you got more bars on the north side to walk up and down the street to go to, and then on the south side, you have more fun at the ballpark. But I think in the next few years, you're going to see a difference with all these teams. And I'm just talking about basketball, baseball, with football included. But a lot of these teams, man, are going to start fire sales, man, and start getting rid of these guys after they realize if they don't produce winning ways with these franchises, man, that they're going to be out of their leagues.
Yeah. Hey, Ice, I know you have some stories on the reality of sports. But there was one story that you posted up on the Goon Squad Facebook page about the NBA's dirty little secret that I want to talk to you, talk a little bit about, because I didn't know this, and it explains a lot. But what do we need to look at in the reality of sports? And then what's the NBA's dirty little secret?
Well, we'll start right there because that'll take a little minute. But dirty little secret is the fact that a lot of NBA players are saying that they have to do certain things in order to get their rest. So a lot of players are either not sleeping enough or they're finding ways to make sure that they get their sleep. Some of them as much as 9 hours between games or certain ways to get to feel totally rested. So while we look at them having true energy and whatnot, a lot of times guys are like, man, it's hard as heck to try to get our sleep in. So people are paying major dollars. Some of the top stars are paying major dollars to find ways to get to go to sleep in between games until they're rested for the next couple games. Great article too.
But one of the things that surprised me about this is that it explains a lot, because they said their lack of sleep drives down their testosterone levels, and they were saying that there are players that are in their 20s that have the testosterone levels of men that are in their mid to late 50s. And if you don't have that testosterone, Southside Al, that can cause some problems in other areas.
I know their pain. I know their pain, but man, I don't even know if you can take a pill for that. But at the end of the day, if this is what they have to resort to get their rest, if they have to take pills, if they have to find ways to get their rest. Because I'm always, like, really enamored by how these guys can play a game on Monday night, travel, and then go play a game on Wednesday night.
And then, you know, some of the teams are traveling across country and or traveling over to Canada and they're playing games. And I'm like, well, when do these guys rest? I mean, I know when the NFL guys rest. I mean, they most of the times, depending on where they're playing, they're leaving the day of or a day of if it's a close game or a day before and they're traveling. So they most of the time are getting their rest. But basketball players, man, they got a grueling schedule. And I can imagine that there are a lot of disappointed women thinking that, hey, these young therapists can't keep it up or can't get nothing out. So, it's really unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But I know their pain, though. I know their pain.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to keep that testosterone level as high as possible. And it reminded me of a song by Biggie. I got a story to tell. Where I guess the guy, it was a true story that Biggie was talking about, and it was Anthony Mason and how he was sleeping with an NBA player's woman. And you gotta think these guys are doing back-to-back games, things of that sort. So, and I remember Jason Kidd, when there was a rookie asking Jason Kidd, you know, how you explain your longevity, he's like, take lots of naps. You're going to need a lot of naps to play in this league and play as long as I played in this league. And folks thought he was joking, but he was dead serious. To keep my energy level up, I got to take lots of naps. The reality of sports, Ice.
Yeah, I have one other thing. I have a question in that regard. Part of it is,
sure.
When you look at the NFL standings, right, and
mm-hmm.
you thought about how the season might go, when you look at the top, is there any way you thought that these teams will be on top, and do we really know who the hell is going to the Super Bowl? Patriots are undefeated. They lead that division. Baltimore is up top in their division. Houston, Kansas City, Philadelphia's tied with Dallas, Green Bay, New Orleans, and San Francisco. When you opened up the season, is that who we thought was going to be would be near the top and preparing for the playoffs or maybe even a Super Bowl pick outside the Patriots?
I'll let you take that, Southside.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, like you say, the Patriots, yeah, that's a given. But the 49ers, no. You never thought that the 49ers would be playing the way they've been playing. And they look like they're for real. I mean, their defense is like unconscious right now. But also, too, you look at the rest of the league. You look at the teams that they thought were going to win, like Jacksonville. They just traded their cornerback. They thought the Rams were going to win. They've been in a three-game skid. So when you look at the top three teams that are winning right now, no, you never thought that those teams will be up in the standings. So we still got a long way to go in the season. So let's see what happens in the next 2 weeks of how all these teams start playing, especially the ones that have a lot of injuries, a lot of issues with the offense and defense. Will they still be playing like Kansas City? Will they still be playing for a playoff spot? Right now, Boy Wonder is hurt. He hurt his ankle, and you know it's going to really tell how the team goes the rest of the year. So, and then you also look at teams like Indianapolis, who have been sneaking a win here and sneaking a win there. So you can't really write them out, because on any given Sunday, any team can win. But they've definitely been playing above their head, especially since the quarterback retired. So you got to look at what the standards are going to be maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, and then you can probably tell who is going to go to the playoffs and who's not.
The way I look at it is I pick New England. Until somebody knocked off New England in the AFC, I'm going to be picking them. Like I said, I don't like them. They're not my favorite team. But until somebody is able to knock them off with Tom Brady and Belichick, you know, Kansas City right now, a little shaky. Everybody in the AFC, I thought Pittsburgh had a chance until the season started. But everybody in the AFC, I can't see anybody challenging the Patriots. The NFC, to me, is up for grabs. When you got the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles tied, and they got to fight for first place already, and then you got the Giants one game behind them, it's like, who really wants the division? San Francisco, I did not see coming. I did not see coming at all. But they've been quietly kind of retooling that team with the new general manager, new coach, and they've been quietly doing it. And then when it makes me think if Garofalo didn't get hurt last year, where would they be? And he's not one of those superstar league quarterbacks, but he's coming in there, and they got a great running game. They got a decent passing game, and defense is stepping up. And with Sherman back there, who knows how to win and is used to playing on hard-nosed defenses. So I was kind of shocked that they're up there. But to me, the NFC is up for grabs. And it really shocked me when I looked at the odds, and it had San Francisco playing against New England in the Super Bowl, and then San Francisco playing against, I think, Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And I'm like, what do they know that I don't know? So I started looking up and researching their numbers and going, whoa, they're kind of quietly just kind of really kind of putting together a good season. And if they're not stopped in the NFC, they're going to do some damage in the playoffs, and we may see them in the Super Bowl. But I didn't see this coming, not this soon. Well, Ice, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think one of the alarming factors is when you look at a certain team that clearly we thought would be in contention, you look at the AFC West and you have the Los Angeles Chargers are 2-4. And I know Gordon had played, but they supposedly had some backups that were ready to go. They are supposed to have a stellar defense, 2-4, and they are 1-3 at home in their temporary home. That is probably one of the biggest shockers. I mean, for them to be struggling like they are, with Denver struggling, the Raiders are playing halfway decent now, trying to come on, and even Kansas City struggling, 4-2 is struggling, if you want to call that, but a huge disappointment when the Chargers are nowhere in to be found. I'm not sure they're going to be able to turn it around.
All right, we're coming to the part of the show, Southside Al, where we give our last second shot. It's a statement that we make that of something we talked about or something that we want to leave on people's minds as it relates to sports. So I'm going to go with Ice first. What's your last second shot, sir?
I had a few things, but I'm going to make it plain. Brock Osweiler is retiring at age 28.
That used to be my boy.
He should have one hell of a retirement because he got a lot of money from a lot of people without really truly performing. So congratulations. Enjoy at 28. You got a lot of money for not doing a lot of things. But if they want to give it to you, I'm not mad at you. Thank y'all.
I want to take a shot at LeBron James, because I think LeBron came out and said some things that probably is going to get attacked on for the rest of the season, maybe for the rest of his life. But give him his due diligence. He spoke out. He was actually correct in some of the things that he was saying. He might have worded some things that he probably shouldn't have said. But for the most part, he really took a stand and spoke out against some things that, you know, we as in America are guilty of doing a lot of evil things to Americans. And, you know, now we want to go say what somebody else do in somebody else's house, and we have no business doing none of that. So kudos to LeBron, and, you know, I hope he has a great season.
All right. My last second shot is given the climate in the NFL, you had Jalen Ramsey who complained, wanted to be traded. I look at next season, and don't be shocked if you see some of the owners try to put some rules and policies together to stop players from trying to jump from one team to the other because they're not happy with the current team and they're under contract. It's coming, because now it's like the inmates are running the asylum. So you better beware, and you better know that the owners are taking note of this, and they're probably talking about this right now, how they can change that. That's it. That's going to be the end of our edition today. Thank you, Southside Al. Thank you for hanging out. You're the only one that had guts to come and call and challenge the Goon Squad. And we look forward to having you on real soon, especially if the Jets and the Chicago Bears win. We're
right.
Definitely going to have you on, and I'm going to set
Bears
you up in
Jets,
your own show.
Hey, Southside Al. Southside Al,
yeah.
Thank you for coming on, brother. We'll see you in 3 weeks, brother.
Okay. Hey, Ice, when I call back next week, man, When I call back next week, just say, I told you that the Bears were going
to
win.
I'm gonna give you your accolades, but we'll see you in 3 weeks.
And the Jets. Now, imagine the Jets winning. Man, they're gonna tell New Jersey if the Jets win against the Patriots. So, hey, or are they playing in New England?
All right. That's the end of our show. If you missed any part of our show, log right back here to Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Black Door hanging out and Southside Al. We will see you next week. Take care.
All right, take care.